probably the succinct thing that is going to be preached about this morning is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. You know, typically the New Year is when people make resolutions. We talked about that the other night at the Grubbs when we were celebrating New Year's Eve. Things such as lose weight. That's always a great one, right? Make more money, spend more time with your children, love your wife more, be more thankful, break patterns of destructive behavior like anger, procrastination, complaining, fault finding, etc., etc. Those would be all good resolutions, would they not be? Or maybe you're more spiritual. Things like you want to see your friends come to know Christ, or your neighbors, or your families. You know, and I told you earlier, right at the top of my list, at the top of my list is the pastor of Grace Evangelical Bible Church. Not that it's, I don't care about the growth, or other things like that, but right at the top of my list would be to see this church flourish with new believers who are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Growing in the... That is one of... You know, I put it on the wall downstairs if you hadn't noticed. But that is one of my favorite scriptures. That we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the atmosphere. Just like a garden. I'm a plant who's growing in the grace of God and the knowledge of God. And they're both vitally necessary. So the top of my list is that. I ask you today, just to think for a second, what is at the top of your list that you would like to see God accomplish through you this year? Just take a moment and think of that. Think of that in your own mind. If there was nothing you couldn't accomplish, no bars, no holds barred, or whatever they call that saying. Isn't that right? What is that? What is that when you run?
No holds barred.
Thank you, Dick. Nothing would stop you. What would be the thing that you'd want to accomplish for God? Now that you have that in your mind, what is absolutely vital to accomplishing that? What do you think? Just a couple people. What do you think? What?
Me.
You. Okay.
Commitment.
Be in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're getting closer to the answer I want. Go ahead.
Prayer.
Bingo. There's no wrong answer to that. Those answers were great. But what I was going at is prayer. In order to accomplish those God-given desires, we're going to have to pray. I got this new book. I haven't read a lot of it yet. It's by Don Carson. It's called A Call to Spiritual Reformation. And he poses a question, and it's a good question for us or anybody at a new year. What is the most urgent need of the church in the Western world today? Because I don't know what's happening in China or Korea or these other places. Is it the need for purity in sexual matters? We'd say, well, yeah, that's certainly something he needs. Because our culture's obsessed with sex at every turn. Guys, you know that. I mean, everywhere you look, there's some scantily clad woman. Okay? Is it integrity and generosity in the financial area of our lives? I mean, look, in America, We worship mammon.
Yes, that's right.
It's true. And it's become so bold and so outrageous that people are most willing to do anything, sacrifice their families, their health, anything to go after that dream. And it's in the church too. It's somewhat disguised under prosperity. Sort of says, okay, it's okay because God wants you to prosper. So work your head off. Neglect your family. Because you're one of the king's kids, you deserve it. He goes on, to say is the urgent need for evangelism and church growth schemes or efforts. I mean, we've tried some. He says that perhaps 4% of those who make decision at major crusades are persevering with Christ 5 years later. That's why, you know, people talk, oh, well, we went to Africa, and no, thousands got saved. You know who I want to talk to? I don't want to talk to the evangelist who blew through town. I want to talk to the guy who's in the trenches working there after he's gone. I mean, you can work a crowd up, but the workers are left to make have them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is the most urgent need for the church today to have to think biblically? There's a great need for the church to think biblically. Believe me, the church is by and by losing its understanding of true biblical knowledge. I mean, they did studies. I don't want to bore you with that, but you know, people that went to like Wheaton College, they gave them tests. This is one of the finer schools in the nation. These people, they did terribly. They did terrible at these tests. Not even knowing some basic things that you and I would know. But what are those all serious? They're symptomatic or schematic of something far greater. And this is what Carson writes. He says that prayer, I can tell you from our prayer meetings, they're not well attended. I'll just stop at that. But prayer, and think of your own life, prayer is one of the foundational steps in knowing God. And he says it's got to be spiritual, persistent, biblically minded prayer. Now, I think he's touching on the fact that we should know what the scriptures say, right? So that we can pray according to what the scriptures are saying. Look, here's the thought today, and I had it this morning when I woke up. God is doing something in this world. He's aggressively king over all the earth. He's got a kingdom. And we just need to plug into it. We need to plug into it with his words, with his power. Like I told somebody, when I'm at this pulpit, the only time that I'm really sort of without error or without error is when I just read right from the scripture. When you go out and you pray or you witness, you know what we're like little Jesuses, little people who are quoting, so infested with the Word of God that we're doing what he's already doing, but we're just saying, okay, use me, and I'm going to speak your words into situations. I'm going to pray them into situations. Now, we've got to get a hold of this year. We're soon going to be seeing the Lord, some of us. We don't know when we're going to see the Lord. Let's just put it that way. But as the clock keeps ticking, tick, 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 we're getting closer to it. Some of us probably never even brought somebody to the Lord, or you could count them on one hand. Now you're feeling bad. Maybe some of you are saying, maybe you, but I've brought hundreds to the Lord. Here's what he says. He says, we've learned how to organize, build institution, public books, no, there's tons of books, insert ourselves into the media, develop evangelistic strategies, and administer discipleship programs, but we have forgotten how to pray. We have forgotten. And our text today, I want to stay on that. Let's read it now. It's from John chapter 15. Let me go there. You didn't think I was going to get to the word, right? You thought I was just going to ramble on. Here's what it says starting in verse 5. John chapter 15. It says, I am the vine. Oh no, let's start in 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear what? Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, don't major on verse 6. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And we'll hit verse 16 later. But this text in verse 17 has two halves. The first half is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's the first half of that, right? He's telling us something. The second half is if that's in place, ask whatever you will. I love it. It says, make your requests be known. I can request things from God. Doesn't mean I'm going to get them. But I can request whatever I want. But if I want to request something that I know that He will answer, I must be abiding in Him. And His Word must be abiding in me. And the first half is the condition for the second half. What does it mean for Jesus' words to abide in us? Because according to this text, and I know there's other texts, but we're looking at this text today. If we are to become what God wants us to be in our praying, we must let the words of Jesus abide in us. That's what he said, right? Clear. Nothing hard about that. In order for our prayers to be effective, his words have to abide in us. But even before that, I'm afraid that some people think that their prayers are answered and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you think that somebody who doesn't know Christ has their prayers answered? I mean, maybe as they cry out for Him to save them, but they don't have direct access to the Father. So the first thing you must have is verse 5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man, or I'll say woman too, abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You have to have a vital living union with Christ in order for your prayers to be answered. There's no question about it. Because you're separated from him before you come to Christ. That means a whole bunch of people are praying and the prayers are going nowhere. It's wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. We have access. The wall of partition is broken down because of faith in Jesus Christ. We have direct access to Him 24/7. Secondly, in order for our prayers to be effective, we have to have an increasing knowledge of His Word. I say that because, look at, even when you first get born again, you can have little knowledge of the Word. But if you're praying according to His, what you know about Him and His kingdom, you'll be effective. So what does that mean? Somebody that's been in the Lord for 30 years? Their prayer life should be just enormously effective if it exists. And there's reasons why it doesn't exist, and that's for another sermon on another day. But here's what 1 John 5:14 says. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, how do you get to know His will? Through His Word. He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit so that there's a harvest in Newberry. Something He desires, right? He's already doing that, whether we know it or not. He's got left His Holy Spirit. He's convicting people and he's drawing people. We plug ourselves right in. I mean, there are conditions for prayer, and I don't want to get off this, like obedience and loving your wife so your prayers aren't hindered. Man, that thing hit me hard this week. And there's, there's reasons, and that's for another day. But for today, the thing we want to get across is his words have to abide in us. Mm-hmm. It just informs our prayers. It guides our prayers. And that's how we get plugged into what he's already doing. Number three on your outline there. Let me see what I wrote on your outline. The results of abiding in Christ, because it's not in the scripture, it's in him, and his words. What are the results from this passage? Well, look at verse 7. What does he say in verse 7? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. Our prayers, when we're saturated with the Word of God and our walk is not somehow short-circuited by sin or anything, they're powerful and effective. Verse 8. Prayers for fruit-bearing. This is what I saw this week. It's for bearing fruit for His kingdom. That's why we're in the kingdom of God. He's working, he's doing something. And he's given us a vehicle of prayer so that we can be part of that. Do you understand? Did you see that? I mean, maybe just because it's sometimes when I get worked up, I can't. It's just like, okay, I understand. You've said it 5 times now. But he's already doing something. And we can get connected to it through prayer. By praying according to his words, his purposes, his plans. Verse 8, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory. Any praying that we do, anything we do in that area is for his glory, first of all. And by this we show ourselves to be his disciples.
Yeah.
He gets the glory because we pray. Mm-hmm. It's his glory to answer it. But if we don't pray, that's all I want to do today. Is get in our minds that we need to start praying. I mean, praying about everything. I mean, I don't think we should do anything without prayer. Awana people. You know what I like to see? I like to see us get here 10 minutes early, get in one of these rooms and pray every Awana Wednesday before we start. I pray at home, Pastor Bob. Humor me. I want to see us all praying. You leave that prayer room, you start to interact with your kids, you start to interact with their parents, you're anticipating that God's going to do something. Your antennas are up. Your spiritual ears are in tune. The WANA program's great, don't get me wrong. But we've always had a desire to reach those kids and their parents for Christ. Prayer is going to push us over the edge of that. Prayer. Verse 16. Well, before I say that, so prayer is primarily for bearing fruit for his kingdom. Because that's what he came to do, right? He came to set up his kingdom. He came to save people. Those are the things he's most certainly involved in. He cares about our lives. But he's involved in that. In verse 16, he says to his disciples, you did not choose me. How many know that we thought we chose him, but he chose us? That was the one thing when I first got saved. I thought, man, I've been searching for you, and I've been searching for you, and I. And then I realized that 2,000 years ago, he had planned this all to be drawing me. Something broke in me. Because, you know, I was raised that, you know, you make things happen. But I didn't make that happen. He chose me. And not only that, but Beloved, he chose us and he appointed us. You have an appointment. You are ambassadors for Christ. You are appointed and anointed with the Holy Spirit that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In other words, I've given you a fruit-bearing mission. Anybody said, my mission in life is will bear fruit? No question. Because that's what he appointed us for. That's why he saved us. Not just to save us from hell, but to give us a fruit-bearing mission. Because if he's in us, that's what his mission is about. That he would bear fruit through us. I've given you a fruit-bearing mission in order that your prayers might be answered. Kind of twists it again. And look it. I know that's hard to understand. For me, it was hard to grasp. So what am I trying to say there? I think I expect it to be in the reverse, okay? Now listen carefully. God will give you whatever you ask in order that you might have a fruit-bearing mission. That's different than saying, I've given you a fruit-bearing mission so that your prayers will be answered. We just get to tap into this, folks. We don't realize. I don't know what the right word for that is. We've set our sights too low. We come from like, oh, well, you know, maybe God is going to do something. And, you know, the world's getting really bad. Oh, he's doing something. The reason why it looks so bad is because this church isn't praying. And getting involved with what he's doing. He's given us the divine spirit. He's given us his divine word. And he's given us each uniquely personalities that have different spheres of influence and have different sort of bents on how to fulfill the Great Commission. For me, it might be going out and vocally telling a crowd of people, you know, that they need to get saved, get right or get left. It's probably not my approach anymore. But you know the point I'm trying to make. Maybe your approach is that you reach out and help your neighbors in your community. And they see how much you love them. And then they look at your lives, even though we're riddled with sin, and they say, well, what do these people have? Don't let yourself just be the nicest person anyone ever met. Make sure you tell them about Jesus. Okay? You don't want to be just the nice person anybody ever met. And besides, I mean, I've heard everybody say that. There must be millions of nice persons you ever met. Everybody says, oh, he's the nicest person you ever met. I'm like, well, that's 50, 60, 70. Okay. Yeah. Don't pull back on the big gun. Amen, brother. So at any rate, prayer is not for gratifying desires of this life. Now I'm getting myself into trouble because I know Jesus taught us in the we'll call it the disciples' prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, right? That's a desire we all need. But prayer is really about bearing fruit for the kingdom, according to our passage today, that we would bear much fruit. Now stay with me. It's a natural desire to eat. And I know that people pray in the Bible for desires, all kinds of natural desires, such as protection from their enemies, escape from danger, you want, even fertility in marriage, recovery from sickness, all those things that we pray for. My point is that not those desires are not wrong. My point is all those desires should be subordinate to the desire of his kingdom. I need health because I want to further the purposes of his kingdom for my life. I'm going to heaven, brothers and sisters. I know that. But I want health so that I can live another day that I might breathe about Christ. Prayer is for fruit-bearing desires. Gospel-spreading desires, God-centered desires, Christ-exalting, God-glorifying desires. That That's what our prayers are should mainly be about. You know, he told David, David said, I never seen the righteous or forsaking for bread, or forsaken, looking for bread. So, in that Lord's Prayer, did you notice what was first and foremost in the Lord's Prayer? Before he prayed, give us this day our daily bread, he said, make it your heart's desire, people, that God would hallow his name, that his name would be exalted through the earth, and that his kingdom would come, and that his will of God would be done on earth. That's where our hearts need to be caught up in, those great desires. And that's what I fear. Sometimes we don't get caught up in those desires. Am I anywhere near where I need to be this morning? I just look at our prayer list and I can tell that. People are concerned about their personal, how they're feeling and how their health is and how their neighbor's health is. And I implemented that prayer list in there just to shock us in a way. That's a prayer list that's quite unlike ours. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just quite unlike. We need to become more kingdom-centered, God-centered in His kingdom. Lord, use me for the execution of your will. Remember Psalm 37, 4, I'm sure a lot of us have learned, it said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've heard people exegetically talk about that many different ways. I've heard some people say that when you delight yourself in the Lord, then your desires will line up with his. And I think that's a good one. I think that's a good one. And I think that when he is our main desire, we won't have so much an emphasis on our earthly desires or natural desires. We want to see the kingdom of God. Some of the people that we pray for really, and I look at that and I say, well, what they really, we don't want to put it in there because we want to be nice. We don't want to say, really, the problem with this person is they need Jesus. Or the problem with this person is he's sick, but he really needs to get right with his wife. You look through the list. And so you think what comes to mind when you look at some of the people on the list. First and foremost is the kingdom of God and people getting right with God. I mean, they could be healthy the rest of their life and never come to know Christ. Yes, we want to protect these people from thinking we're talking about them. I understand that. Or we're making assumptions about them that they would say, well, I know Christ, and yet you never see a bit of fruit in their whole life. Not recently, anyways. I really get. I'm glad I'm taking a vacation next week, so you may need a week away from me. Prayer, 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 prayer is the essential operative for the continued success of the kingdom of God and the Christian life. And we need each other to remind us each other about this. It's okay. Remind everybody. Let's pray about that. That's okay. Nobody take offense. I won't take offense as the pastor that should have been me that said that, right? The pastor's always supposed to be the one. No, anybody. It doesn't matter. As long as we're praying. Let's pray. You remember the old adage, little prayer, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K? Well, imagine imagine a church full of people that aren't going without prayer. They're becoming weak, and multiply that with all people in the church. Then what does the church become? Weak. Weak. And we need it for personal holiness prayer. I prayed with my wife on the phone yesterday. I said, you know, I don't know why I'm this way. And I'm not going to start to psychoanalyze myself. All I know is it's sinful behavior. And let's pray together with God to remove it. All I know is that that's sinful behavior, and I want it removed, God. What about in the area of defeating the works of Satan? You think you're a match for Satan in the natural? No. He'll turn you out, whoop you up the side of the head, make a fool out of you. What about setting captives free? You think because you have a great way of presenting the gospel, they'll just say, okay, that's it, I'm accepting Christ? Man, I've talked to people till I'm blue in the face till 1 or 2 in the morning over in Croatia, and I'm thinking, man, I gave you the best that I have. Nothing happens. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that has to do it. And if it's the Spirit of God, what do I need to be doing? Praying. Because only He can change a heart. It's a vital link. It's the most vital link, I think. And I bet, if truth be known, it's one of the more weaker links, or the most weakest link in our lives. Because we're natural people. I mean, I get up in the morning and I'm... If I don't take the time to pray, well, I do have the opportunity. I come to the church. You know what I was thinking about doing? I was thinking about changing my home page. Get rid of all that junk that comes up and put down, did you pray today, and then a prayer list. Right? I mean, we get moving. We got lots on our plate. The fact of it is how much do we have on our plate that is from the kingdom of God at the end of the day? Or is it just a lean spattering where it could be a massive banquet of fruits and vegetables, of things that we've accomplished for the kingdom of God that day? Yeah, we need to stay connected to Christ. And you know, we're good at working our heads off. Some of us anyways. Probably most of us. It's easier to work. And you can have meetings, go through the motions of worship, but if God isn't in it, and I'm not saying that He isn't in Grace Evangelical Bible Church, but if He's not in it by inviting Him in, see, we get the feeling that He's just in it. We're in Christ. So everything's just going to somehow automatically come to pass. How's that working? It doesn't automatically come to pass. The Christian life is not that easy. But we need this power. And you can continue to run on momentum and programs, and you can maintain. Maintain. I don't want to maintain here. I really don't. Don't you want to go out in a blaze of glory and see people come to know Christ? People to be healed. I mean, there's that aspect of it. Whether that's emotionally, physically. See your neighbors, friends, relatives come to know Christ. How often are you praying for them? I mean, anytime you talk about prayer, you can always put people on a guilt trip. That's not my intention. If that's the only place you go is on a guilt trip and not to the place of prayer, then I've not accomplished anything today. Because God, I'm publicly doing this today, calling this 2013 a year of prayer, so that it stays in front of our minds. So that every month we're reminded of that. No prayer, no fruit. No prayer, no fruit. No prayer, no fruit. No prayer, no seeing our desires for what we want God to accomplish through us is not going to happen. No prayer, no fruit. Somebody said it's like a train full of people enjoying the scenery when you run on momentum and tradition. It's like a train full of people enjoying the scenery but coasting to a stop in the desert. Why? Because the locomotive somewhere along the line has been disengaged and has disappeared over the horizon. We got to stay connected to that locomotive of power. God is going to do great things this year. I'll prophetically say that. But the reason I can say that is if you get a burden for prayer, He will do great things this year. We got to stay connected to Christ. His Word is a good way to stay connected. But you know what? Even when you go to read the Word, we should be praying that those words would speak to us. Because what did He say? These words are spirit. We need to be praying, God, open Your Word up to me. Open Your Word up to me. Amen. Paul talked to somebody within the Colossian church who were getting into legalistic rituals and they were going into great detail about how they'd seen angels and had all these spiritual experiences. You remember the chapter there. It's in Colossians 2, verse 19. But Paul says, you guys are unspiritual. Really? Well, why, Paul? Why would you say that they were unspiritual? He says, well, they lost their connection with the head. And I believe in order to hold fast to our head, I know the Word is one way we do it, but in order to hold fast to Him, you must be people, as the Scripture so often says, devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. What are you devoting yourself to? What am I devoting myself to? There's all kinds of prayer, and we don't have the time to go into that today, but even times of prayer and fasting. When's the last time you missed a meal? It's because you want to see the kingdom of God. I mean, I miss meals because I'm getting overweight at times. But for the sole purpose is to make your voice heard on high. To make His kingdom come. Let His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hope that I've kindled a small flame for the spreading of prayer in our midst today. This is not the last you're going to hear about it this year. Yeah, I'm going to do other series from the Bible, but you call me to task if I don't once a month give you a sermon on prayer. You know, historically, if you look at the church, there's no doubt that God comes. That's what revival means. That revival and spiritual power and joy and worship and healing of animosities. People let go of unforgiveness and hurts from the past. And people get a zeal for outreach. Because what? Because God puts a burden of prayer on these people. And that's what God has done for your pastor. You should be glad that he's grabbed me and said, you know what? You need to make 2013 a year of prayer for these people in the church. I can't do it for you, but I can at least be the force behind it. Because your lives will be so enriched. Because Christ in you wants the kingdom of God. He wants to do what He did while He was here on earth. That's why He left us and given us His Spirit. And we need to plug ourselves in through His words and His prayer time to get involved with what God is doing in the earth. God, like John said, God is the God over this country. God is the God over the whole world. We're not going to see him do anything miraculous in our, at least in our spheres, unless we're praying. This is it. This is the bottom line. I preached myself out. So I'm proclaiming 2013 as a year of prayer. I mean, I may even make a banner. 2013, year of prayer. And then when we stop seeing it, I'm going to change it to a different color. Because that's the problem with this, right? We get used to seeing something and we just say, oh, okay, that's what that says up there. Go away. Like the guy who looks in the Word and reads it and he forgets what he looks like. We're just that way. We're like, what's those sieves, strainers, you know? And we get filled up every week and it just pours out. Or even daily. I hope this isn't the only filling you get once a week. Because it's not enough. And why do I say that? It's such a succinct scripture. Jesus says, for apart from him, you can do no thing. And I used to, what do you mean I can do no? I can build a house. I can do this. Look, he gave me those talents. But for the kingdom of God and his purposes in life, in this, I mean not in life, in your life, in his, for the purposes of God, if we're not abiding in him and praying, we're not going to do nothing for him. That's what it says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this year, let's connect ourselves to the source of all power, all blessings, through prayer. Now, I've talked too much. Let's pray a little bit, okay? Can you give me another 10 minutes or so? Look at this prayer list here. And maybe I won't have you pray. Maybe I'll read through them, okay? Maybe when I come back after a week of praying these, then you can pray instead of me, okay? But look at this list. Pray that we would become people who are devoted to prayer. Ha! Right? That should be right up there at the top. Because I'm not doing so well there, Lord. So I'm praying that we would become people that are devoted to prayer individually and corporately. Look at the second. Pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For a fresh new filling daily. Pray for the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our spheres of influences, such as our home, our work, our communities, and in the world at large. Look at four. Pray that we would have victory over sin in our lives. You can pray that for everybody in the church, because we're all struggling in some area. For a degree of holiness in us all. Why? So that we would not hinder God's purposes and plans to use us to bless others and further his kingdom. Pray that we would be honest with ourselves when we feel the conviction of his word. We're good at trying to weasel our way out of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Such as pride, anger, unforgiveness, complaining, worldliness, lust, or any other sin. Pray that we would be good repenters and that we would be quick to ask for forgiveness and a fresh filling. Look at this one. Pray for our marriages here at Grace. Pray that those who are married would love and respect one another deeply. Through the power of the Spirit of God. And pray for those, and you know who they are, they have unsaved spouses. You know how tough it is to raise children when one of their spouses isn't on the same page? For you, whoever's living in a situation like that and you're maintaining your Christian witness, that's not going to be easy, as you well know. Pray for those who have children, that parents would continue to pray, that we as parents would be praying for our children, and that we would lead and guide them in the purposes of God for their lives. Out there, it's miserable barrage of ungodliness coming against our children. Epic proportions right now. Pray that God would give us a love and burden for people to come to know Christ. Pray that Grace Evangelical Bible Church would see a harvest of souls. Are you praying for that? That we would see a harvest of souls? We'll speak one Sunday on that. He said, look, the harvest fields are white. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send people out into the field. And that who's ever here, once they're here or in our midst, that would grow into Christ-likeness. We need that prayer from one another. It's directly related to our effectiveness in the kingdom of God. I'm not scolding this morning, am I? I never want to scold. I'm preaching to myself. Pray that God would fill this church with believers who have gifts and talents that we need. Why? Because we want to have a gifted and talented church? No, we need certain people with gifts and talents so that we can uniquely reach the goal that God has for Grace Evangelical Bible Church. And let them bring them in and then send them out or get them working in our midst. We need them. We need to pray for them so that we could be part of a great harvest. Look at this one. Pray that your pastor, our elders, would spend time in prayer and meditation over the Word of God. If those over in authority here are not doing that, you get down on your knees and put the heat on them. Okay? I think we are. But I'm not with everybody in their daily lives. We can all look good when we come together. Look at one other thing. Pray that I would bring messages that would be transforming in spirit and power. That I would have an ear to hear what the Lord wants me to say. You know, it's a struggle from week to week sometimes to hear what God wants me to say. Because, you know, I know He's saying certain things to me. Is this for me? Is this for the congregation? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I like expository preaching through a certain area. But within that certain book or a certain paragraph for the week, I want to hear what He wants to say specifically to us so that I can early in the week in the study already know that. I want to know that. I covet to know that. I really do. Pray for me. Pray for Craig, our youth pastor. He's a tremendous young man. When he first came to me, I said, Craig, I don't really know. And if you're expecting me to give you, like, you know, right out, here's what I think you should do. You need to fit yourself into this. I said, I know a couple things. I know you love God. I know you love His Word. I've seen you through the years. You have a passion for Christ. How can you not be successful at what we're going to try to do? We'll work it out together. You tell a young man that, he's ready to go, right? I'm here for you. Let's do this thing. Let's take the kingdom of God. Let's teach these children that find their hope and satisfaction in Christ. Pray that our children would desire a relationship with God more than anything this world has to offer. And that's tough for a young person because they want to know, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to be? Where am I going to live? I used to tell the young kids in the church at Cornerstone, I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? One kid said, well, I want to be a welder. I want to be a lawyer. I said, those are great, but the thing you want to be is you want to be a man of God, a man after God's own heart. And I don't care what you do with your life after that, as long as it's not sinful. And they got conditioned. They knew him. Pastor, I wasn't a pastor then. Brother Bob would ask him, they say, a man after God's own heart. Oh, a man after God's own heart. What a great thing to want to be. Pray for all our outreaches, that they would be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. That the power of Satan would be broken in people's lives. Our jail ministries, our city mission ministries, all these things. We will not be effective unless the Spirit of God breaks these bondages. These people come from not the places where some of you and I came from. And it's only the Spirit of God that can break this. And that these people will get plugged into local churches. These are all important prayers for us. Pray that in our times of corporate worship, we would focus on giving God the praise He deserves. That we would focus on that. That we would truly worship Him. And finally, and this will change some, but pray that we would find our joy and fulfillment and no other desire but Him. I think it was John Piper said, you know, the problem is when He isn't the focus of all our desire and satisfaction, we start to go elsewhere for it. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble. He has to remain at the center. Thank you for listening this morning. I want to keep this in front of us. Next week, my former pastor, Pastor Roger Cruzzi, will be here. But the next week I get back, we're going to have another message on prayer. It's going to be Communion Sunday. And look, I'd love for you to pray some of these prayers next time we get together, okay? Don't be bashful. Say, you know, this one really touches my heart. And we'll spend 10 or 15 minutes in prayer. Okay? Is that okay? You won't look at me like, well, Pastor Bob didn't, you know, do enough on a sermon that week, right? That's what I worry about all the time. You know, it's like, am I worthy of my hire? Pray for me about that too, because that's just the enemy who likes to beat me down. Let's stand and pray, and we'll finish with a song. Let me pray, okay? Father, I thank You for each and every member here today, Lord God, each believer in Christ. Father, don't let this sermon just fall by the wayside today, Lord God. I pray by the Spirit of God that we would all start to be infected so that we may be effective with a burden for prayer. So we can see You do great things in our midst, Lord God. In our lives, in our families. Teach us to be people who remind each other, Lord, ever so lovingly and gently, but resolutely, are we people of prayer? Our joy will be so full, just like Your joy was so full, when we stay connected to the Father through prayer. We ask this in Christ's name.